And it's hard to talk about that without talking about People's Park. A group of people took some corporate land owned by the University of California that was a parking lot, turned it into a park, and then said, we're using the land better than you used it, and it's ours.
For a brief moment in history, in People's Park, the counterculture and political activists had a magical fusion. It was a way of looking at the future. It was utopian. It was a way of saying, if we had control of our lives, this is what it would look like.
Down-to-earth way, we were showing in our very activity the image of a new society. Our job is to form a counterculture, a more rural culture, a more decentralized culture, to develop counter values of cooperation, of a production for use rather than production for profit, develop that culture in hope that that culture would be in revolutionary contradiction to bourgeois culture, and that we should view ourselves as revolutionaries, but really as founding mothers and fathers of this counterculture. I can almost convince myself of it now.
As I see it, the great hope implicit in the People's Park is that in our leisure time, so to speak, we will make the social revolution. Property is not a thing to keep men apart and at war, but rather a medium by which men can come together to play. A People's Park.
People's Park managed to focus all of the frustrations as well as some of the ideals of the 60s. There was a belief in the environment. There was a belief in the participation of ordinary people in political decision-making. There was a belief that a whole lot of things ought to count that really traditionally don't count when they're caught up in government and university bureaucracies. There was all of that. But the fact remains that at bottom, I believe the People's Park incident was extremely cynical on the part of the demonstrators. They wanted a confrontation. What mattered was getting people out in the streets demonstrating.
Roger Hines and the region.